You're listening to Bloomington Normal's Public Media. Bloomington Normal is later than big metro areas to get 5G cellular technology, but it's coming, and that will mean a proliferation of cellular antennas. Normal City Manager Pam Reese says that means the community as a whole needs to provide predictability to the cellular companies on what is allowed.
We are partnering with the City of Bloomington and Regional Planning on a study right now for small cell wireless installations that include 5G installations to best position us to allow for 5G installations to occur and maybe in a more strategic way. We just want to make sure we can set the community up to limit the visual impact of some of these things and be more strategic in where they're located. That study should be wrapping up by late summer.
What else have you talked about?
There's so much that's connected. The 5G conversation is part of our smart city review. And I do want to say as a side note, some of these federal dollars that will be coming to us are prioritized for water, sewer infrastructure, but also broadband technology. And that could be very helpful to us as we plan for the future. But when we look at the town of Normal specifically and what does the broadband technology mean for us, we also then have talked about intelligent transportation systems, and we refer to that as ITS. People say, well, what does that mean? I've even said that to staff.
That's autonomous vehicles and the traffic signals that link up with autonomous vehicles?
Yes, it certainly can. But when you think about what our vehicles are doing today and what our cell phones are doing today, there's a lot of digital communication going on between our cars and our phones. Yes, autonomous vehicles is one of the components of intelligent transportation systems and getting ready to accommodate autonomous vehicles. But short of that, even in the today, in the near future, it's things like just managing our traffic signals. It also could be something along the lines of emergency vehicle preemption of traffic signals, having emergency vehicles talk to a traffic signal so that you can manage the flow of your emergency vehicles a little bit better. So those are things that are short of the autonomous vehicle step that can be implemented rather quickly.
If you pulled from emergency signals or from vehicles, all that is data. What are the implications of that?
You know, ultimately, we talk about making decisions based on data. So if we're pulling data from traffic signals and we're pulling data from emergency vehicles, or we're pulling data from maybe an ITS installation that can track vehicles or perhaps even pedestrians through phones, what we need to do is make sure first and foremost that we're using that data accurately, that we have open data portals and open data management. And so one of the things that we're going to have to do this year is make sure we communicate with the city council on how we want to use the data, what we're going to be collecting when we do get to the point of installation of digital systems, broadband, 5G network, and to make sure that our citizens that are traversing our community can feel confident that the data that's collected is preserved, secure, and that we're using it well.
Well, there's a tension, too, between the need to keep data secure and private and the goal of municipal governments to be transparent.
Absolutely. And I do want to say that it's not only just for connectivity for citizens, but it also, I think, sets us up well for economic development. I mean, businesses are looking for strong digital networks, communities that are ready and can support them. So it's all connected. And when we partner with the Economic Development Council, with Illinois State University, Bloomington County, Westland, Rivian, of course, all the partners that have an interest, they can help get us to the next level.
Let's update the community on a number of projects. Trail East, the pandemic has affected that. Where does it stand?
Bush Development, from the time that they submitted their proposal to us, one of their financing strategies was to take advantage of new market tax credits. That market really kind of shut down a year ago as upon the pandemic. So Bush had to wait until the new market tax credit picked up, and they have indicated now that they are on track to have all their financing closed by June. And so, you know, it's certainly our hope that we'll see some activity on site midsummer this year.
Has the delay affected the potential tenants, the food court operator, the potential tech companies that had announced they would occupy space? Have those lapsed because of the pandemic?
You know, that's a question that we asked Bush a couple months ago. We were thrilled to hear that it changed minimally. You know, one of the things that we have heard from some businesses, particularly those that have gone to remote work environment, that they might not need the same kind of space when they go back to in-person, you know, setting. Some employees might continue to work remotely and such. But when we presented that question to Bush Development, what we learned is that the square footage needs were almost the same, but some of the occupancy might be reduced slightly, simply because some of their tenants might still have some employees work remotely. But what they've discovered is that they wanted to maintain the same kind of square footage so that their spacing between employees maybe grew a little bit. So it's been an interesting dynamic to see how that plays out in their architectural and design phase.
Does the lower occupancy change the potential economic impact of the project? Because there would be fewer people than estimated in Uptown eating and spending money during the workday and, well, after their workday when they still might hang out.
No, but I don't think so, actually, because we're not talking hundreds of people of different. We might be talking a few or, you know, a dozen kind of employees. The other thing that I think Bush is assessing is in their previous plan, they had allocated space to tenants on the first, second, and third floor, fourth floor as well. The fifth floor, they really hadn't finally designed. They were thinking residential. Weren't sure if they'd have enough commercial office users to allocate the fifth floor's office space. What I haven't spoken to Bush Development directly about, but I wonder myself, is whether or not they have an interest in committing that fifth floor now to residential for sure, because what we're hearing is that there's a growing need for housing options in this community. Not everyone is interested in single family detached home, traditional kind of neighborhood. Some people want to be in apartments. Some people want to be in condos or townhomes. So I'm wondering if Bush is interested in absolutely committing that fifth floor to apartments.
Regarding the potential railroad underpass to connect Uptown and Uptown South, Normal City Manager Pam Reese says the town is still exploring local funding options to match federal and state grants. She also says Tartan Realty, which owns Uptown One, has had new interest by potential tenants of the vacant ground floor of that building. I'm Charlie Schlenker.